Network. Great, this is BeelPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's dreamy Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 28th of January, 2016. On this date, in 814, Charlemagne, the first Holy Roman Emperor, died handing things over to his kid. 1547, Henry VIII dies, handing things over, as if on cue, to his 9-year-old kid. 1724, the Russian Academy of Sciences is founded in St. Petersburg by Peter the Great. 1813, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice is first published in the UK. 1820, a Russian expedition led by Fabian Gottlieb von Bellingshausen and Mikhail Petrovich Lazarev discover the Antarctic continent. 1871, the Siege of Paris ends in French defeat and an armistice ending the Franco-Prussian War. 1932, Japanese forces attack Shanghai. 1935, Iceland becomes the first Western country to legalize abortion. 1956, Elvis Presley makes his first U.S. television appearance. 1985, We Are the World is recorded to help raise funds for Ethiopian famine relief. 1986, the space shuttle Challenger explodes after takeoff. 1997, four cops admit to killing Stephen Biko to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. Birthdays today are Cuban man about town, Jose Marti, novelist Colette, painter Jackson Pollock, richest man in the world, Carlos Slim, actor Alan Alda, former Liberian president and scuzzball Charles Taylor, French guy Nicolas Sarkozy. Today is Army Day in Armenia and International Data Privacy Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment, ask a question, anything else, go to tabilpod.com. Post on the forum or send us an email at tblpod@gmail.com. And on the lari, the central bank made two interventions this week to support the lari, selling $20 million on the 22nd of January and another $20 million 4 days later on the 26th of January. First day of intervention on the 22nd, the lari had hit a record low against the U.S. dollar, falling by 1% from the previous day down to 2.4694 lari per U.S. dollar. The lari's previous all-time low was 2.451 per U.S. dollar in February 1999. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili explained that there are negative repercussions on the lari because of devaluations in the national currencies of Georgia's main trading partners, particularly Azerbaijan, and so it's not alarming that this is happening. They're expecting good economic growth for this year. But there was another intervention on the 26th of January. The third already this year, the lari fell again to a new all-time low against the dollar. It was trading at 2.535 against the dollar by the afternoon of the 26th, but then strengthened to 2.4984 by the evening, which is still 0.24% weaker than the previous day. The lari has lost 4.2% of its value against the U.S. dollar since the beginning of this year, meaning the last 4 weeks. Georgi Katagidze, president of the central bank, also explained that the depreciation is mostly about negative expectations in the market because of developments in the neighboring countries. Following up on previous month's stories, on the 27th of January, the International Criminal Court in The Hague authorized ICC prosecutor Fatou Bensouda to investigate war crimes and crimes against humanity allegedly committed in the August 2008 war in Georgia. As a reminder, prosecutor Bensouda filed a 160-page request in October of 2015 detailing some of the crimes and asking permission from a 3-judge pretrial chamber of the ICC to investigate them. It says the alleged crimes were committed by all three sides of the conflict, Georgian, Ossetian, and Russian. The report also reportedly had a confidential annex which included a list of persons or groups that appear to be the most responsible for the most serious crimes, with an indication of their specific role. The investigation will cover the period from the 1st of July 2008, which is over a month before the war began, to the 10th of October 2008, when Russian troops withdrew to South Ossetia from Georgian territory. The court allowed for the investigation, citing that there is a reasonable basis to believe that crimes within the ICC's jurisdiction were committed, including crimes against humanity, such as murder, forcible transfer of population, persecution, and war crimes, such as attacks against civilian population, willful killing, intentionally directing attacks against peacekeepers, destruction of property and pillaging in the context of an international armed conflict. ICC prosecutor Ben Sota said in a statement that this is the opening phase of the investigation process, that if they later identify with evidence a person that committed an ICC-defined war crime, she will request the judges to issue an arrest warrant. She also pointed out both that the investigation will take as long as needed to gather the required evidence, and that while the investigation is ongoing, it will be entirely confidential. They won't provide details on any aspect of it. Justice Minister Ted Tsiloukiani said that Tbilisi will continue to cooperate actively with the ICC and will provide them with additional information within a month. During an annual press conference in Moscow on the 26th of January, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that there are reports of Islamic State or Daesh fighters training in the Pankizi Gorge. The statement came in relation to questions about whether Moscow will lift visa requirements for Georgia. Lavrov said they were introduced in the first place in 2001, largely because of the terrorism threat from Pankizi. Yeah, right. And that by the way, reports are coming even now that ISIS members are using the territory for training, rest, and replenishing. He went on right after that to say that Russia is ready to launch a visa regime in the future, but it's awkward when the two countries don't have diplomatic relations, and that he is open to talking directly with his Georgian counterpart. This whole thing of, for those of you who have not been around dealing with Georgia since the 90s, this training, rest, and replenishing thing was always discussed in Russia, that Chechen rebels were training, resting, and replenishing, and then going back to fight in the first Chechen war. Talk about that in the second Chechen war. And it's rarely been the case. Now they're saying that's happening with ISIS fighters. Who knows whether it's going to be, alleged Kashmiris training, resting, and replenishing in the Pankizi Gorge, but it's really just an excuse. Georgian authorities quickly denied that Daesh has training grounds in Pankizi and that the statement was nonsense. Others said that it was Russian propaganda. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said that he will, through their channels, provide Russia with precise information on the situation in Pankizi. Member of Parliament Tedo Japaridze was elected as Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, or PACE. He is one of the 20 vice presidents. They were elected the opening of the PACE winter plenary session in Strasbourg on the 25th of January. Vice presidents usually remain in office until the opening of the next session. Japaridze currently leads the Foreign Relations Committee in the Georgian Parliament as well. The new president of the Parliamentary Assembly, the Council of Europe, is Spanish lawmaker Pedro Agramunt. In his inaugural speech after being elected, he talked about the liberation of political prisoners, which include Nadia Savchenko of Ukraine and former Tbilisi mayor Gigi Ugulava. He said that the defense of their liberty, their freedom of movement, and freedom of speech must be one of the priorities to take up with the authorities of the countries concerned. Hats off to Barona Tedo for mentioning Ugulava. As many of you may know, he was a close associate of Shevardnadze, of Zurajvanya, also served briefly as foreign minister under Saakashvili, very briefly, and then was replaced fairly quickly and frustratingly. And he was for many, many years the Shevardnadze's ambassador to Washington, and has a lot of close American friends. People in the Gardabani municipality in Femokartli region are electing a Gamgebeli or municipality head on the 28th of April. We don't know the results yet. Only two candidates are running for the office, Gocha Jamarauli from Georgian Dream ruling coalition and Besik Kakhabrishvili of the National Movement. Georgian Dream's candidate is a former footballer who played for the national team 1994 to 2004. The National Movement candidate ran for the post in 2014 local elections but lost. There's elections now because the incumbent Gamgebeli died in November. He was with the Georgian Dream. On a related note, the Gardabani election has brought back a discussion of how military personnel vote in local elections and for majoritarian lawmakers. three Georgian election monitoring groups, TI Georgia, ISPED, and GILA, say that the existing rules regulating how military personnel vote leave room for those in power to manipulate results. This has come up because several major military facilities, including the Vaziani military base, are located in Gardabani municipality. According to existing legislation, military personnel can cast a ballot in local elections and majoritarian member of parliament elections in a constituency where their base is located if they are serving for the next year, even if they are not locals registered in the district. The monitoring group said that this is a problem when the election administration cannot verify whether the list of military voters compiled by the Ministry of Defense conforms with the electoral code requirements. According to the Ministry of Defense, there are about 700 military personnel in Gardabani municipality who are eligible to vote in this local election, and there is a special polling station in the 1st Artillery Brigade in the Vaziani base. Military Defense has also said that they have drafted legislative amendments to solve these problems. It will get rid of the special polling stations in the military units and will allow military personnel to vote at polling stations near their bases. Prime Minister Kvita Kashvili also said the same when meeting with various non-parliamentary political parties, that they've prepared legislation to end the special voting stations. The election monitoring groups are preparing a different bill that will only allow military service members registered in that particular constituency to vote locally. Following up on Gazprom talks, Energy Minister Kaki Kaladze met Gazprom export executives in Vienna on the 20th of January. He said that they have not yet reached a deal on the terms for transiting gas, and so the talks will continue, that he believes the talks will conclude in the near future. As a reminder, Kaladze related to the public that Gazprom now wants to pay cash as a transit fee for transporting gas to Armenia via Georgia, whereas currently Georgia receives 10% of the transited gas with a transit fee. He said that Russia is adamant in their demands to monetize the transit fee, and that during the talks, Gazprom indicated it would secure gas supplies to Armenia from Iran instead if no agreement is reached with Georgia on the new transit terms. They're bluffing. There also are negotiations about purchasing additional gas from Gazprom due to increasing gas consumption in Georgia. According to Kaladze, natural gas consumption has increased by 35-38% since 2012. This is because of new gas stations where cars can fill up with gas. Almost all taxis use natural gas, due to the gasification program which connected supposedly 120,000 families throughout Georgia with gas. We have heard that Gazprom wants to pay the transit fee in cash because they need the money, but also because if Georgia then brought the gas from Gazprom, they would have to pay a lot more than they're paying right now. Evidently, it's locked in at a fairly good price. Follow up on last week's story on the Georgian delegation of the World Economic Forum in Davos. Prime Minister Kvita Kashvili met with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. Foreign Minister Mikhail Dzhanelidze met his Austrian, Italian, Argentinian, and Mongolian counterparts. Dubai company Majid Al Futtaim Holding expressed an interest in investing in Georgia's hospitality and trade industry. Follow up on other foreign travel. Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania was in Slovenia to talk to Slovak business people about Eco Green City near Tbilisi Sea. Delegation from the Parliamentary Assembly of the OSCE was in Georgia this week. They are discussing preparations because Tbilisi will host the Assembly's 25th annual meeting, July 2016. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzupashvili was in Lodz, Poland for the Europe-Ukraine Forum. Turkmenistan's Minister of Trade visited Georgia. There's a special report in a Swiss paper in French that an investment manager with the Swiss credit bank lost somewhere between 50 and 100 million francs in a fraud scheme, and it was Bidzina's money. There aren't details yet on how the money was lost, but the banker's in detention. Other clients are opening cases for bad investment management as well. By the way, the French language press in general seem to have way more interesting reporting on Bidzina Ivanishvili than the English language press. On the 25th of January, Prime Minister Kvita Kashvili met with about a dozen non-parliamentary opposition parties to discuss electoral issues ahead of the parliamentary elections in October. Kvita Kashvili told them that he was ready to provide for a much higher level of engagement and to demonstrate to Georgia's international partners that we are capable of having a civilized conversation with each other. the parties raised the issue of scrapping the majoritarian component, meaning the individual single-member mandate constituencies of the electoral system in time for the 2016 parliamentary elections. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said that the Georgian Dream Coalition will discuss the positive and negative aspects of it and will make a decision on it collectively as a team. The negative aspect for Otsneva is that they will get fewer members of parliament this way. The positive aspect for Georgia is that it is a vastly superior representation mechanism. Previously, this seemed to be a closed issue for Otsneva. They agreed to change the system only, they would change it now, but only for elections after these coming elections in 2016, but not during these upcoming elections. Indeed, after their meeting, a senior lawmaker from Otsneva, Georgi Volsky, reiterated that there will be no change in the system for this year's elections. The non-parliamentary parties said that they were in a meeting, said that they had a different impression and that there was a sincere discussion about it. This would be a giant step forward for Georgia, but Otsneva has a great deal to lose, and I predict it will not happen, but I hope not. It would be a ginormous feather in Kvitikashvili's cap if the electoral system is changed this way to multi-member constituencies. Delta, Georgia's state arms manufacturer, won a contract to supply Saudi Arabia with more than 100 armored medical evacuation vehicles. They said that the contract is valued at up to 100 million lari and that they will be sending a first batch of 12 vehicles to Saudi Arabia at the end of January. They signed the contract in December and beat out a bunch of other bidders. Delta's manufactured armored medical evacuation vehicle beat out Lenco Bearcat in the final stages of the tender. Delta said that they are now in preliminary talks for two other separate contracts with a combined value of 290 million lari. 19-year-old Georgian model Mariam Shakiashvili will be in the new Calvin Klein catalog. The photo shoot for it was this week in China. The catalog will be released later this year. Shakiashvili is with Milan-based model agency Brave Models Management and also with the Georgian agency Geo Models. Georgian citizen Kvitia Gabadze was killed fighting in Syria. He was from Ajada back in November. He appeared in a pro-ISIS video that was spread in Georgian media and that threatened Georgia. He left Georgia in September. His wife and infant daughter and father live in a village near Batumi. Council of Europe released a report on Georgia and the protection of national minority rights and says that Georgia isn't doing enough. It notes the dominance of the Georgian Orthodox Church, that there aren't enough radio broadcast opportunities for minority languages, among other things. NATO released its 2015 annual report. It praises Georgia for its contribution to international military missions, for encouraging female participation in gender equality in its military service, and stresses that its door is open to Georgia and other member aspirant countries. The door is open. It doesn't mean you can walk through that door. It just means that the door is open. The National Security Council, which is headed by President Mark Velashvili, will hold a session on the 29th of January, and Prime Minister Kvitikashvili confirmed that he will be attending. By contrast, his predecessor, Prime Minister Kharibashvili, would not attend meetings chaired by Mark Velashvili. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kvitikashvili, for being normal about that. As a note, this case investigating the death of former Prime Minister Zudarjani with his family claiming his death was a murder and not an accident is continuing. Partnership Fund is working with Georgian real estate company Redex Group to design and build a 4-star hotel for Abbas Dumani. They're expected to invest a total of $26 million. Construction will begin in the spring of 2016, will be completed in 2018. Government sold the abandoned Iveria Sanatorium in Skaltubo in Imereti for 250,000 lari. It was on the Ministry of Economy's list of government properties for privatization. As a reminder, in 2015, the government started selling state-owned properties in order to generate income to support the lari. According to the contract for Skaltubo Sanatorium, the buyer has to invest 6 million euro to build a hotel. There's no info yet on who bought it. About 450 schools in Georgia closed in the second half of the week due to bad weather and snow. and also to prevent the flu from spreading further, according to the Ministry of Education. They said they were recommended by the National Center for Disease Control to close those schools where many pupils were absent already with the flu. According to the National Center for Disease Control, there were over 100 cases of H1N1, and there have been 6 deaths in January from H1N1 and H3N2. It's going to be a new program within the Film in Georgia program to develop a local film industry. It is a cash rebate mechanism. Filmmakers who shoot feature films, television movies, drama series, soap operas, animations, reality shows, documentary films in Georgia will be refunded 25% of their qualified expenses. We have a story from Johnson's Russia list via tpeelpod.com's Malibu correspondent. Gazeta.ru talked with a Russian official responsible for overseeing the media. They asked him if he can give an example of a civilized country that has tougher laws on media than Russia. And he tells this story, that a cable channel in New York was showing the film 888, haven't heard of this film, about the August 2008 war in Georgia. He claims that an FBI agent turned up at the studio 30 minutes after the film started, showed his ID, seized the material, and left. Viewers' TV screens went blank. The Russian official commented that, and I quote, "We all know that in the U.S., FBI agents as well as police have unlimited powers. Can you imagine an inspector from my agency turning up at the offices of a media outlet and interrupting a broadcast? I can't." End quote. An unfinished documentary co-produced by Georgian filmmaker Alexander Kvatashidze won the HBO prize of When East Meets West Forum in Trieste, Italy. It's a co-production between Georgia, Estonia, France, and Germany called See You in Chechnya. It's about how war reporters, the war in Chechnya in the 1990s continued to be affected. Mine workers in Chiatuda are protesting against their employer, Georgian Manganese, which halted mining work for 4 months because of falling demand. The workers are receiving 60% of their pay during the work halt and are demanding that the government cover the rest of their salaries. Georgian rugby unit elected Gocha Svanidze as its new president. He will hold the post for 4 years. He's a former rugby player and has been until now the chairman of the rugby board. The outgoing president of the Georgian Rugby Union, Gheorghe Nijaradze, was earlier selected to serve on the newly established World Rugby Commission. It's a 6-person disciplinary commission headed by the United States rugby chairman. There was supposed to be a football match in Suhumi between the teams Russian FC Volga and Armenian Ararat, but it was canceled. Armenia's foreign ministry said the Armenian team cannot play a match on the territory of Abkhazia, stemming from a message from the Georgian foreign ministry. Georgia has joined the EU's maritime security network, which is called Safe Sea Net, as of April. The network allows maritime authorities to share information. For Georgia, it also means new technologies, equipment at its ports, and training for vessels, traffic service operators. More on China and wine. The Ministry of Agriculture announced that Chinese trade economic Sulun Group will operate between 60 and 80 new Georgian wine centers in China this year. And just this week, Sulun Group opened a Georgian wine house in China's Xinjiang province. Georgia and Turkey signed an agreement to help simplify customs rules through an internationally recognized system that will allow them to electronically exchange data. Israeli Airlines El Al plans to launch regular flights to Tbilisi and Batumi from Tel Aviv. They were recently in Tbilisi to discuss legislation and technical issues with the Georgian Civil Aviation Agency and airport operator TAV Georgia. They plan to have Tbilisi-Tel Aviv flights once a week and Batumi-Tel Aviv flights twice a week. Austrian helicopter company Vucher Helicopter is going to be offering heliskiing in Gudauri. It's not confirmed yet exactly when that'll begin. A group in Batumi called Protect the Old Boulevard protested over plans to rebuild the Batumi Boulevard that were presented in late 2015. The Ajara government has invited them to meet with their working group to discuss concepts for the boulevard. Rustavelli's medieval epic poem, The Knight in the Panther Skin, was translated into Bulgarian in a project by the Georgian Embassy in Bulgaria. The website, thetop10s.com, ranked medieval Georgian King David the Builder as one of the best military generals of all time. Others on the list included Napoleon, Alexander the Great, and Julius Caesar. It seems that people can vote for who they think is the best general. So it's possible that there was a NBA Zaza Pachulia situation where Georgians are voting for King David the Fourth, David the Builder, because he was in the number one spot, or maybe he's just the best military leader ever in history. A jar and cigar manufacturing company, Imedi, is negotiating with Chinese investors to export their cigars to China. They're also negotiating exporting them elsewhere in the former Soviet countries. Imedi is financed from the state program Produce in Georgia. Representatives from international audit firms KPMG, EY, Deloitte, PwC, BDO, and Deckert were in Tbilisi. They're helping the finance ministry improve tax administration, including the income tax reforms the government's been talking about that's based on the Estonian model. As a note, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili recently commented that Georgia, too, was suffering from falling oil prices. He said that oil countries are big investors in Georgia, and they are investing less with lower oil prices, so Georgia needs to develop its private sector, which includes liberalizing the tax system. National Agency for Cultural Heritage Prevention is transforming an abandoned cinema building in Mtskheta into a museum. Wrestler Vaja Markvelashvili won bronze in his weight category at the International Judo Grand Prix 2016 in Havana, Cuba. Five people, including some Polish and Ukrainian tourists, had to be rescued after they were stranded in snow trying to walk from Kazbegi to Gudauri, which are 30 kilometers apart. Parliamentary news. Parliament is still on break until the first week of February. The meme this week is a video of actor Ryan Reynolds promoting his new movie Deadpool at a press conference in Moscow. He asked the audience to tell him the funny-sounding Russian food for him to quote as his movie character. The journalist suggested Khajapuri. He said, it's time to make a Khajapuri. His pronunciation is pretty good, I might add. It's at 135 on the video. Take a look. Thankfully, somebody yells out in the press conference that it's actually Georgian food and not Russian. Stuff to read in the Washington Post. Michael Cicieri offers a counter-argument to those who say that Georgia is still solidly pro-Western. He says Georgians are turning more and more towards Russia. Says to watch out for that in this year's elections. Tabilpod.com's much-beloved mascot and frequent guest, Will Dunbar, went to Gori for the Calvert Journal to see the Stalin Museum and examine how different groups in Georgia feel about its native son and his legacy. Take a look. BBC writes on the approval from the ICC to investigate war crimes in August 2008. The article had a lot of Georgians very ticked off. Said that the article was not very impartial. The BBC writes that, and I quote, the war began with an operation by Georgia which had hoped to seize back South Ossetia, end quote, which is a little frustrating. IWPR looks at why IDPs in Georgia still live in poor conditions almost 20 years later. They explain that there are some government programs to help them, but few know about them. For example, in 2014, there was a program for IDPs that could apply to buy a house, but it was a complicated application and online. From roundtable discussions, they learned that less than 1% of IDPs get their information from online sources. Instead, they're writing to the Ministry of IDPs and getting back bureaucratic letters and legal language that nobody understands. Andrew North for The Guardian looks at the reopening of the Tbilisi Opera House and its history with anecdotes in Tbilisi the 90s. Former director of the Opera House tells how it became necessary to run the opera even though there was no money or heating. They couldn't charge much for the tickets and in turn couldn't even pay their staff. They were still committed to keep the opera running. Agenda.ge shows some Georgian posters for Shakespeare plays that were included in presenting Shakespeare catalog published this year to honor Shakespeare's death in the year 1616. Eurasianet, Georgi Lomsadze looks at a particular incident continuing the culture feud between Georgia and Armenia. There's a video on YouTube of an Armenian dance ensemble performing the iconic Kartuli wedding dance. but the video says that it's an Armenian wedding dance, and Georgian media is rampant, saying how Armenians are always trying to claim everything is theirs. The details are brilliant. It's worth checking out. Have a look at a book published in English by Polish scholars called Veiled and Unveiled in Chechnya and Dagestan, published by Hearst. Friend who's worked on this book says, if you're interested in Islam, sex, communism, and the Caucasus, this is for you. And of course, who isn't? There's a video of some guys snowboarding on the streets of Batumi covered in snow. Vice's Munchies channel goes crazy over Khachapuri. Mashable reports on how Zaza Pachulia strangely almost made it into the NBA All-Star game and how he had some help from Bera Ivanishvili. And social media, the social media teen idol. All this stuff to read posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 52, which is Georgia's rank into Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index 2015, unchanged from last year's rank. Zero is highly corrupt, 100 is very clean. So Georgia perceived their country. Or the professionals assessing it to be between those numbers. Georgia is ahead of other Soviet, former Soviet states except the Baltic. It's also ahead of EU member states, Hungary, Slovakia, Croatia, Bulgaria, Greece, Italy, and Romania. Our friends with the NGO Chai Hana have created a new podcast on Georgia. It's called Taxi Taxi, available on iTunes. We've got the link for you. It's most recent episode. They talked to a journalist who covered the August 2008 war. It's cool. Listen to it. Always ready for new podcasts on Georgia. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tabilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tabilpod.com. And we will finish with, from London, 1990, this is Elevate My Mind by Stereo MC.
Say, well, that's okay, cause time consumed, like a dentist pulls out a tooth, as each new day will bring a new face, how can I make my rhyme go someplace, first of all, she asks for more, I said, sure, I don't mind at all, the water's deep, but I'm walking tall, it don't matter if you're rich or poor, ain't here to score, just raise the floor, maximum buys what I'm aiming for, I do my war, dash back to the wall, just returning my native core, and that's the way that we're getting by, always keeping you on the wire. You won't, cause you're feeling inspired. Weren't we going to jerk you all through? There's no way you'll stop my breakthrough. Two ways to do it, get in and get out. Elevate yourself.